Welcome to The Sound, KQAL-FM's weekly behind-the-scenes look at Midwestern-made music. From writing and recording to distribution and promotion, The Sound is your source for new releases and exclusive interviews from Midwestern artists. Support for The Sound is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Rolling.
Today on The Sound, we're joined by H3O Jazz Trio. Starting in 2011, the H3O Jazz Trio is composed of Eric Hokish. I'm sorry, Eric. I'm so sorry. Give me a little help here. It's
Hoikishoven.
I'm joined by Eric Hoikishoven and his son Max. They worked in numerous Minnesota music halls, including Hall of Famers, including Let's Field, The Deceivers, Dr. John Paulson. They've worked in local they've performed for local TV stations, NPR News, the Midwest Music Fest, and now they're on 89.5 KQAL, and I promise you this show's going to go a lot better than that intro did. Stay tuned, but here's their first song. This is High and Low by H3O Jazz Trio right here at 89.5 KQAL. Oh, goodness. Hold on. That's weird. Running into some problems here. Oh, there it is. Okay, so this is High and Low by H3O Jazz Trio here at 89.5 KQAL.
Thank you.
And that was High and Low by H3O Jazz Trio. And we're joined here by two of their members, Eric and Max. I got the note right here. Hokeshoven.
Close enough.
We'll go with Eric and Max.
We'll just start with Eric and Max from here on out, yeah?
That works.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining with us. And, of course, that was High and Low. And my first question will be, how did you all get your start in music?
Max, I think you can answer that better.
Well, for me, having grown up, you know, being the kid of two music professors at that point in time, because, well, I'd say you weren't teaching
full-time
teaching music, but at least my mom, she was a band director. My dad was teaching jazz, at least part-time at that point. I was always around music, always just constantly inundated with music. So come fourth grade, picked up the bass, originally just upright bass, playing in an orchestra at Bluffview Elementary. And then come fifth grade, was also playing in their concert band. And then sixth grade, it got an electric bass and then was playing in the jazz band. And since then, I've been pretty much just playing bass in all forms and continued on to Winona Senior High School. And then beyond then, also in St. Mary's in every single ensemble. So.
And the group started in 2011. A friend backed out of a pool party gig here in town, and they called and said, can you put something together? And I said, is it okay if my sons play? And they said, yeah, that'd be fun. So we did a pool party, and that went well, and we started playing even pretty regularly, and that's how many years ago now? 13 years ago.
Yeah, I saw that, and I know that, Max, you're the youngest member of the group. You started at 14, it says.
Yeah. Well, that's at least when we had that gig.
Right. How did that feel for you? What were you expecting at that age? Did you expect it to go this far?
Well, while that was our first gig with just the three of us, I'm actually pretty certain that wasn't even my first gig per se, because at least on a few other occasions before then, I had played with Turkey River All-Stars, just playing upright bass, and I'd played a lot of other gigs with like Winona Fiddlers on multiple other occasions and played some other gigs. So while this was our first trio gig, I was at least relatively not too nervous playing that one. But to expect it to keep going this far, I mean, I don't know if it was really something, you know, you ever really planned for. It's just kind of you keep playing. You just keep doing some gigs.
It happens organically.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I want to dive into a bit of your music making process. So each song on this album is an original song written by someone in your group, yeah?
By me.
By you. So let me ask you, how do you get to the point of where, well, how do you start with nothing and get to the final product?
So all of the songs on Toffle Jazz have a story behind them. They're written for a person, a place, an event. The word comes from Tafelmusik in German, which is basically a Baroque term for what Telemann did when he wrote music for the King's Banquet and things like that. And I've written maybe 40 or 50 of these over the years, and they tend to be quick and not always so tidy. But I think about the people, and I don't know what was all on the playlist, but for High and Low, that's with John Sievers on trombone from Rochester, and the first two notes are an octave apart, so it starts on a high note and goes to the low note, so there's little Easter eggs planted in the pieces like that. That uses kind of the, it's kind of a laid-back venue here in town, and so I thought, you know, something easy, kind of with a repetitive bass line sort of taken from the song Fever. You know, I've been a musician since, well, before Max's age even, and, you know, it's kind of all living, swimming around in my head.
Well, I will definitely say that it's pretty interesting. So would you say it's not more of a process, just more of a something that just happens?
Oftentimes, I'll just sit down at the piano. Mm-hmm. I've been a piano player since I was a kid, and I'll I'll noodle around on maybe a set of chord changes, and then decide, okay, you know, if I'm writing this for, in this case, trombone, you know, what fits the range of that horn,
mm-hmm.
and you know, what feels right. And I try to stay away from cliches if I can, but I know sometimes they slip in.
Was there any in this song?
Yeah, I think the bass line is very stock, and you know, but it's also tried and true, so it works.
Right. Well, I do want to dive in a little bit to these songs. Every song on this album has a story associated right. with it, or you know, some little writing along with it. So I want to do that for each of the songs we're going to play here tonight. Okay. So can you tell us a bit about High and Low?
Sure. So the High and Low is a neighborhood bar on 7th and, is it Hamilton?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
here on the east end of Winona. And what I love about that venue is it is literally the most hyper-local place you can, you know, when we play there, we see the same people almost every time. And it's, I think it's this feeling of community that that really is a wonderful attitude. And so when I knew we were playing there with John Sievers, Max and I were playing there with him. So technically it wasn't an H3O gig. It was, you know, us backing him. But as I often do, I thought, oh, I should write a tune. And then what we often do is give that a piece of the sheet music to the owner or to the whoever's running the place and say, hey, thanks for letting us play here. And that's oftentimes, you know, that I think that leads to nice relations, and they usually call us back.
All right. Now, this is, excuse me, this is just going to be curiosity at this point. Have you played this song at the High and Low?
Oh, yes.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Whenever we play there.
Well, that's fantastic. Playing High and Low at the High and Low.
At the High and Low.
Yes.
And by the way, the name stands for, it's spelled funny because it's right. Heineken and Lowenbrau is what it actually means.
And
well, that's the bar's name.
The bar's name, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, and I should know that, and I don't.
Well, no.
Well, I learned something
there
new
today.
There you
go.
Well, it's trivia of a local bar, at least.
Right, and that's what you get here at KQAL. You get trivia along with local artists, and local artists sharing trivia. Only here at 89.5 KQAL. Coming up, why don't we dive into the next song we have on the roster here. This is Duck Duck by H3O Jazz Trio here at 89.5 KQAL.
Gray duck, 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 goose, do you know the name? Duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose, are they both the same? Duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose, what's up with the name? Duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose, how to play the game? Run around a circle, bop them on the head. Duck or goose? Here in Minnesota, we prefer the duck, and this one's on the loose. Duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose, I guess it's all the same. Duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose, I dig that. Thank you. I guess it's all the same. A duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose. I dig that crazy game. Duck, duck, gray duck, 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 goose. I think I'll go insane.
And that was Duck Duck by H3O Jazz Trio with two members here with us in the studio. Want to greet the audience?
Hi, I'm Eric Hoikasoven.
And I'm Max Hoikasoven.
All right, so let's dive into a bit of the album, the process of making the album. So this is the first album for you all.
It was our first album, yes.
How does it feel releasing an album 13 years after you formed the group?
Wonderful. Pandemic entered into that. We originally had planned to record it in 2020. And we had things picked out and planned, and we had everybody on board. And then life and the world happened. And so we ended up, there was kind of a lull. We thought maybe things were going away the summer of 2021, and we got everybody back together in the studio. And I think we did, was it three sessions, Max, total?
I think over 3 days. So.
Yeah. And so we had, in addition to Hans and Max and myself, my wife Janet on flute, and John Paulson on flute and sax, and John Siebers on trombone and the vocal that you just heard. So, you know, we get everybody in the room, and a wonderful audio engineer, a friend of ours from La Crosse named Brett Hoos, did the actual recording. I think part of the reason that it was a long time coming was I just couldn't quite decide on the route we wanted to go, and decided that there were so many of these songs that had this sort of common thread of telling a story that would be a good way to put them together. And, you know, part of it's just the fact that we've been playing together long enough that I think that we feel very comfortable, you know, in working in a situation like that. 'Cause recording is stressful.
Right. Well, let's dive a little bit into your recording process, right? You mentioned a little bit of it here, but you did mention off the air that for this song, there is no overdubbing. Everything we heard was done, at least for Duck Duck.
Realized while we were talking yes. that the vibe solo was put yeah. in afterwards.
We realize that because on all of the recordings, as some of you might have noticed, when we listed off all the people who joined us, we only have one percussionist in the group, which is my brother and the other member of H3O in the main trio, which is Hans Hoikasoven. And as a result, because we had the vibe solo, we had the drum playing in the entire just live recording, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And then we had to add the vibe solo into that last song that we just played, Duck Duck. So just added the vibe solo afterwards.
Oh, okay. I got that.
Yeah. But your question, I think, was that John was singing and then playing trombone, and that was in real time.
Yeah, that was, yes, that's what you mentioned to me, which is quite impressive in and of itself. I do want to, this is going to be a little bit of a tangent because it's just a curiosity
sure.
of mine. H3O, I'm guessing H stands for Hoikasoven.
Yes.
The three is, of course, three of you. What is the O?
Well, 3O is an abbreviation for trio, oftentimes.
Oh,
like you'll see, I've seen it on other things. Usually it's just a shorthand for trio.
Really?
Yeah. So you're right, though. We thought putting Hoikasoven on any kind of advertisements or signage would be, you know, would not work well.
Well, I honestly thought when I first saw it, it was a pun for water, like H2O and
yeah.
it's H3O.
We're told, is it heavy water or something like that?
Yeah. Three hydrogen.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was something I kind of clicked on. I was wondering if it was just rolling in my mind. I was
sure.
like, I have to ask this. I got
well,
the chance.
Well, good. If it makes you curious, that's part of the term.
Right. It's good. It's good to get that curiosity out there. Now, in your recording process, for this album, you've recorded with a couple other musicians. You mentioned mm-hmm. John Paulson and John Siebers.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, how was it like recording with them?
Well, they're all good friends, or in the case of my wife, family. And the boys and I have played with John Paulson and with John Siebers on different occasions. And we all, I think, are close enough that we kind of understand, you know, how things are going to work. And I knew that they were all commensurate, you know, professionals, that if I handed them a chart, they could probably play it cold. But I know they practiced.
Right, right. I have one more question to add here. So you have, excuse me. So you're a family of father and two sons.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that the fact that you all are, you know, family, what do you think that adds to the process of performing music and making music, if it adds anything?
Well, I'm very, obviously very proud that we're able to do it. I appreciate the fact that my sons put up with me.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But I also know that it's, you know, there are some fairly famous jazz families out there, the Marsalises, the Brubecks, you know, and to me, I can think of a little bit of a way of leaving a legacy. I don't know how long we'll play together. You know, somebody may move someday, or we may decide it's enough. But as it is now, it's really fun to play with them. And, you know, especially when we do our monthly jazz jams here in Winona, we kind of channel that camaraderie into something that's also good for the community.
All right, that's really nice to have that little familiar connection then.
Absolutely.
I do want to get into the story of this song, because every song has a story.
Of Duck Duck.
Yep. Oh, yes, of Duck Duck. Can we hear what that's all about?
You know the story.
Oh, I don't know exactly all the details behind your reasons behind it, but I do know the story of the initial gig behind this. So there was a kind of a boutique film theater, is the best way to describe it, in Rochester. That was the Grey Duck Theater. And sadly, the place is now closed.
Actually, it changed hands.
Well, it's no longer the Grey Duck Theater. And they were doing a silent film airing, and they were going to have background music during the silent film airing. So what we were tasked to do for this gig was play background music for the silent films, and mm-hmm. that's what we did.
Well, that had to be a trip.
It was.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to do because we were literally playing in the dark.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, it was quite the interesting game.
And we had all these tunes mapped out, and we knew the spots where we were going to, you know, change. And they were all jazz standards. But it was part of the Rochester City Jazz Festival. And so we thought, well, we need to write a tune for this. And of course, there's the age old argument or controversy in Minnesota. You know, is it Duck Duck, Grey Duck, or Duck Duck Goose? By the way, I'm not from Minnesota, so I had never heard of that till I came.
as you are from Illinois, you always do it wrong. So,
so that was we did it, and John Severs sang it and played at the, I think did we do it to open before the movie?
Yeah, we did have a little short thing before mm-hmm. the actual movie airings, if I remember right. So we did, because each one of the silent films, I think, was like a 30, 40 minute long
set list.
Yeah,
they were fairly long.
Yeah.
But it was challenging and fun, mostly just trying to figure out, and we would kind of, we'd be between songs and we'd just sort of be vamping, and then, oh, here comes the scene, and we'd start the next tune.
Wow, that had to
and,
be...
And I remember the only song that I can remember that was relevant to the music was Charlie Chaplin was also a composer.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, "Smile though your heart is breaking, smile even though it's aching." And so we definitely put that one in mm-hmm. to the mix.
Yeah, I mean... I think every single member in our trio has done enough musical theater, pit, orchestra, and performances. It was very similar to playing for a musical. It's just instead of watching a conductor, you're watching the projector on the screen.
And waiting for
the entrance.
Key moment.
Yeah. It was like waiting for the keyframe to go to the next entrance, pretty much. It was an interesting performance.
Yeah.
And that's the origin, at least, for the gig.
Yep.
That caused
Yeah, the song was inspired by the Grey Duck Theater and the story of Duck Duck in Minnesota.
All right, so just to clarify, you would say Duck Duck.
Great. I never played the game when I was a kid, so I don't think I would have said anything. But it's outside of Minnesota, I'm told it's Duck Duck Grey Goose.
No, it's just Duck Duck Grey Duck. And it's Duck Duck Goose outside.
Oh, Duck Duck Goose. That's
right.
You always get it.
I don't even know.
You get it wrong in every way.
But I got it right in the song.
Right. I was raised on Duck Duck Goose. I was not raised in Minnesota. I heard Duck Duck Grey Duck, and I swear this is true. A few months ago, that's the first time I've ever heard it.
Yep.
And
that's a Minnesotan way.
I was genuinely confused. I'm like, where does that come from? So it was kind of fun hearing the song and seeing that comparison, because I do know the little conflict.
Sure.
And I see you gave a definitive answer.
Yes.
Do you believe that'll be accepted as a definitive answer?
I hope so.
That's all right. Why don't we get into our next song here? Now, I'm going to need your help to pronounce this one, and I'm sure you probably know which one that is from the get-go.
I do. It was written for my friend in Copenhagen, I think, right?
My mind would read it.
COVID-19.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's also known as a hopeful tune.
A hopeful tune. Yeah. But I'm so curious how to pronounce that first. Is it actually just pronounced?
It is. COVID? It is. It's just spelled out funny. And when we come back from the track, I'll tell you what that means.
Right. That'll be the first thing I gotta ask you. So this is COVID-19, aka a hopeful tune by H3O Jazz Trio, right here at 89.5 KQAL.
And that was COVID-19, a.k.a. A Hopeful Tune by H3O Jazz Trio from their new album, Tuffle Jazz. Thank you. And they're joined here with us in the studio. Let's just start things off with just the title of this song.
Right.
It's a roller coaster.
If you see it, it's big C, little zero, O, and then capital VI, and then small d minus 1/9. That's it for the listeners out there. That's what's on the album. So it was the pandemic, and we're all sitting around the house And I was writing a lot. I was doing some serious writing, also doing a lot of fun writing. And I wanted to do something. And I looked at that and I said, okay, well, C with the O could be a primary key. So that's the key of C. The VI is a Roman numeral for six, which is we use six chords. And then the 1/9 is the octave with a ninth over the top. And I wrote the song so that each time the melody starts a new part of the melody, it starts on the ninth. And it follows a 1-6-2 progression, which is what those spell out. And I don't remember when we finally got to play it, but I brought the, as I so often do, I just bring these things to the gig unannounced and say, hey, let's play this.
Okay. Yep.
And everybody says, sure. Go ahead, Eric.
How does that make you feel?
And they do it to me too. So
yeah.
It's a mutual thing, and
doesn't really matter. It's just sight reading,
right? And that's how we work these things out. But I was with John Paulson, and I was trying to explain to him the whole music theory behind it, and he goes, "Oh, really? Come on!" And he just rolled his eyes, and he said, "But I like the tune."
Now, I'll be honest, I love this song on the album. I do. Reading that title was really rough for me when I was looking at it. I'm like, okay.
That's why we gave it the alternate title. And we were hopeful, because that was written pretty early, like in the late spring of 2020.
Yeah, it was right away, pretty much. It might have been like April.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, music theory majors and stuff like that, people who study music, I guarantee you they'll probably get that on the first try.
Yes.
who did music, and he hit the nail on the coffin with this.
Okay.
And it was just...
I also have, there's three or four, when they started doing the mutations, I have three or four things called mutation waltz, mutation blues, and they're based on that B117 progression, and those didn't make it on the album.
Well, is there a story behind this song that is separate from its own title, or is there more to it?
No, not really. It was just born of the pandemic, and, so I guess that the story would be that it was written because of the event was COVID.
I do want to dive in a little more into your songs. So when on your website it says that these are quote songs for an occasion.
Mm-hmm.
What is the occasion these songs are for, or are each one meant for a different occasion?
Yeah, they're all different. I mean, they're in this case it was the pandemic, and Duck Duck it was written for an event. High and Low was written for a place.
Oh, so then all the stories we're going into are the occasions you're referring to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Well, when it comes to your songs, we, of course, have two more that are coming up, and you don't know which ones I've chosen.
I don't.
But all your songs have stories. Are there any songs on the album that we haven't covered yet that really stick out to you that you just feel the need to share?
Well, not knowing which ones you programmed,
I just showed you.
Okay. What do we got?
We got last two there. We'll dive into those.
Okay,
ones,
great.
Guarantee,
so I'll talk about one that's not on there. Great Expectations is the only solo piano piece on the album, and it was. I have a 2.5-year-old grandson named Felix, so almost 2.5-year-old grandson, who lives here in town. And he was born in October of 21.
I was about to say.
When's Felix's birthday? I know it's October 1st. And I sat down at the piano one day, and there's an old saying that good songs write themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally just played Great Expectations pretty much cold. And what I'll oftentimes do is if I think I'm going to forget something, I'll quick grab my phone, put the voice memo on, and play it two or three times so I sort it out in my head so that when I wake up the next morning and I'm like, how did that song go? I have, you know, the reference for it. But it didn't change that much. And again, the listeners can't see the album cover, but they can find it at hgojazz.com. There's very prominent in the lower left-hand corner is a picture of Felix when he was about just a few weeks old. My wonderful designer friend, Terry Leader, did a fantastic job with the cover art and illustrating some of the different stories that are on the album. So that one is especially meaningful to me personally since he's my first grandchild.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to ask you, Max. So we dove into the fact that, Eric, you've wrote all the songs on this album.
Yeah.
Max, do you know if you or Hans have any wants or desire to write some songs yourself?
Wants or desires to write songs for myself. Sometimes, I mean, I've messed around in the past. The difficulty of being a bass player is almost similarly when I might have like an idea pop into my head. I sometimes feel like, oh, is this even an idea that isn't just something that's just a melody that I've thought of in the past or heard in the past? And then if I can't just like think of anything else. And it might be just some random melody that I've heard that then just popped back into my head, and it's not an original melody. So that's one of the reasons why, and it's also I don't generally think about composing jazz music too often. I'm not really a composer myself, but Hans, I'm maybe.
I think Hans has, and Hans has also been turning us on to video game songs that can be used as jazz standards or jazz tunes.
People who are aware or know my work will know that I would support that completely.
Okay. Yes. Well, come down to Blooming Grounds next Friday and we'll probably play some of those. So
yeah, I mean, you know, stuff like some of the standard.
I'm trying to think of
common run. Some of the stuff from like Super Mario Galaxy, Oh yeah, that's the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack.
Yeah, they really work well.
Yep. Really, that's interesting because the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack took a whole orchestra, and it was one of the first games to have a live orchestra to record.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So and you're going to translate that to your.
Someone already has. There's literally a fake book what we play out of, which is a book of melody and chords, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, I think there's two.
Yeah, there's a group out of New York that made a fake book.
Yeah, and so we've been kind of diving down that rabbit hole.
And they've also done some of the older, like, Super Mario stuff, so.
You said that's Blooming Grounds at Friday, the 22nd.
22nd, 6 to 8. Yeah. We call it Unwind Fridays.
Right, I'll be going there.
All right, we'll see you there.
Oh man, for those listening, know that I love video game music. I have a huge appreciation. So anyone who sheds some light on it, perfect. I will support that
make sure they're on the
whole
list.
Yep. But I'm not gonna lie, I had another question and I lost it. I got so much excited about this about what you just said. But why don't we head back into why don't we get into our next song? This will be Jerry Jumps In from the new album. Toffle Jazz.
Perfect.
Thank you. Toffle Jazz by the H3O Jazz Trio, who are here with us on 89.5 KQAL.
We'll be right back.
And that was Jerry Jumps In, one of the songs on the new album Toffle Jazz by H3O Jazz Trio, who's here with us. Did I say it wrong?
No.
No, that was
okay,
correct.
Good. Who's here with us in the studio. So let's just get right into it. What is the story behind Jerry Jumps In?
So this is a bit bittersweet. It was written for a dear, dear friend of ours named Jerry Paulson, who was a trumpet player. And he passed away very unexpectedly, I think on New Year's Day about 5 years ago. But it was written before that. It was written for him, and Jerry and I were playing, I believe it was a duo gig in Rochester years ago, and I brought it in. I said, "Here, I wrote you a fast blues. There's a tune which it basically is a ripoff of. It called Lester Leaps In, and written for Lester Young, and it's just a simple blues. It's what we call a riff blues. The melody is the same all three times, and I wanted something on the album that was just fast and fun, that would give John Paulson and John Sievers a chance to stretch out a little bit. And it's fun because in the recording they start quoting other blues melodies that are going on, and you know, it's a little kind of a let's see how many of these we can fit into the 12 bar solo. And it just, you know, you need, whenever you do a project like this, you look at things and you say, I need balance. I need a ballad. I need something up tempo. I need a bossa nova. I need a waltz. Much like when we put our set lists together for any job.
All right. Well, I do want to talk a little more about that Lester Leaps In. Why do you think that song inspired you for this song? Why was that the one you based this on? Or was that just coincidental?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I liked the song, and we had played it together before. Lester Young wasn't a trumpet player, but, you know, good music is good music. And it basically, the whole idea was that, again, you know, if I walk in 10 minutes before we're going to play and say, "Hey, I wrote this. Let's play this tonight." It sometimes simple is the most effective way to approach that. You know, you want something that's, and in this case, it's just repetitive. And then to those of us who play jazz, you know, a 12-bar blues is pretty much like breathing, right?
A 12-bar blues. If you can just pretty much show it up and just say, "This is a 12-bar blues.
In
here's
B
the
flat,
key, here's the key."
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's about all you need to know.
Hopefully.
So.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, for someone on the outside, that's it seems like it's easier said than done.
But you know, there are, but I mean, the basic structure is there. I mean, if you were ask someone to tell you a fairy tale, they'd start with "Once upon a time," right? And
true.
And they'd have a happy ending. So, you know, you kind of know what the form is before you start.
All right. Well, let's go into a little more about the future of your jazz performing.
Sure.
I noticed you guys do, I think it was once a month, you perform at the Island City Brewing Co.
We do. It's this Sunday, the 17th, 2:30 to 5:30. It's usually the third Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing that coming up on 6 years in September, I believe. And it's an open mic for jazz. So anybody who wants to come and sit in with the trio is welcome. And we've had everything from a 4-year-old playing a shaker egg to a 94-year-old playing trumpet and everything in between. And it's a really fun, family-friendly afternoon at the brewery. And then in April of, I believe it was 2021, we had talked about this, and I said, you know, we don't even put a tip jar out, but if we did, what if we collected money for a local charity, local nonprofit? And the owner of at the brewery at the time and I talked, and I said, you know, how about we do this? If they put in $50, I'll put in $50, you put in $50, and we'll triple the amount. So we thought we'd get like $100. And the first time, I think we collected like $400. And so he and I were both on the hook for $400. And it has, I believe now we're up to something like $45,000 to local nonprofits since, well, it's just over 3 years. So it'll just be 3 years next month. And I think we're all proud of that. And it's this month, it's especially fun because it's for the Winona International Friendship Association, which is the group that sends young students to our sister city in Japan, Misato, where Max and I have both been. You've been there twice, haven't you?
Yes, once.
Once with the ambassadors.
Once on a regular trip, and then the second time for the anniversary.
The anniversary trip where they wanted a jazz band and a basketball team.
Yes.
We were the jazz band.
All right, so this last time you said something that really excited me, which was your performance this next coming Friday, and now you're telling me you've been to Masato, which, again, is just... Now I'm just jealous.
Oh, well, it's a beautiful city. And,
yes, it
and,
is.
And really lovely people.
It's a great, that's great place.
It's really fun. And, you know, we call it a jazz open mic, but we've kind of gone pretty far afield. We've had people do some cowboy songs, and I think the local uke group is coming in this week to play a couple of tunes, although they did what, Fly Me to the Moon or something like that.
They
tend to do standards.
They try to stay somewhat within the confines of what you'd say is jazz, which is a very wide...
Jazz is a big tent.
Yes. It's a very wide tent of music.
But that's, that's our regular monthly gig, and then the Blooming Grounds gig, and we've last summer we played up at Danziger Winery in Alma quite regularly and hope to do that again this summer. We did some of the local events in Fountain City and Buffalo City. We're playing at a new venue in Rochester next week called 1928 Cocktails and Bites, I believe it is, which is programming jazz. I think it's Friday, Saturday night, kudos to them.
So where can people keep up with this? Because you just mentioned quite a bit of activity.
Oh, that's fine. Our website has an up-to-date calendar. It's H3O, the letter O, not zero, H3OJazz.com.
All right, and this leads to another question. The Island City Brewing Company has just changed ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't affect your monthly performances.
I'm very happy to say that it will not. In fact, I credit the new owners. They literally called me the day after they took ownership of the brewery and said, okay, tell us how this works. And they are all in. So I really appreciate that Brooke and Graham are being supportive of this.
In other words, this album was your first step to really getting out there and getting people to say, like, hey, here's our music. Now people around the world can hear us whenever they want.
They exist, yes.
And it doesn't look like you're stopping.
I hope not.
All right. Well, I guess we should get into our final song here. I want to thank you both for joining us here on The Sound.
Thank you, Jeeva.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Well, this is... we're not going to be able to talk after this, so I want to ask you what the story behind One for Papa is.
Oh, this is a great story.
you can do this one.
I'll do this one. Yeah. For many years in Rochester, the go-to restaurant on Broadway was a place called Michael's. And it was the old school, you know, dark paneling, and all the doctors and everybody went there. But in their lounge, in their bar area, they had a place called Papa George's. The family that ran it was Greek, and the gentleman that we worked with the most was named Mike Pappas. And so this is one of those songs that was written for a place, and it was written for Michael's restaurant, for Papa George's lounge. And it's based on the chord changes for I Got Rhythm. That's a standard set of chord changes, much like the blues that we talked about, where if you tell a jazz player, these are rhythm changes, they're going to know what the form of the song is. So he's Greek. And I decided that in the middle of, in the what we call the bridge, in the B section, I would quote the Greek little Greek dance. Mm-hmm. And sadly, Michael's closed a number of years ago, but they have not yet torn down the building. And every time I'm in Rochester and I drive by there, I shed a tear because it was one of the few places that A, had a real piano. Mm-hmm. And they kept in tune, and they treated their musicians with a lot of respect, and it was a great place to play.
All right, well, that is Well, now our audience gets to hear what the result of all that, all those
Papa.
Memories kind of became.
Yep.
Well, here's one for Papa, one of the songs on the new album, Tafel Jazz by H3O Jazz Trio. And again, I want to thank you all for joining us here at On the Sound.
Yep.
And that was One for Papa by the H3O Jazz Trio, who were here with us in the studio. And we actually just got a call in that from people who knew about that location they were mentioning and wanted to say it was great to reminisce. I want to thank them for being on the show. And if you want to see more of their music, check out their website, h3ojazz.com, where you can also see their album and see where their future performances are happening. This was The Sound from 89.5 KQAL.
Thanks for listening to The Sound. The Sound is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us online at kqal.org. Theme music for The Sound provided by Mike Terrell of Fires of Denmark.